Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-866-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
On this Encore show, Darren and I talk about how Apostle Paul felt weak and inadequate, but Holy Spirit took up the slack by bringing demonstration of the power of God into the formula. Darren adds that man in his foolishness doesn't realize how stupid he really is. He doesn't know that he doesn't know. Do you feel inadequate and weak today? Colossians 2:9 says that you are complete in Christ Jesus. You have the mind of Christ. The name of Jesus gives you everything you need because the power of Holy Spirit dwells in you. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. Now let's join the program.
Well, praise God, Barbara. I'll tell you, when we're talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we did a little bit yesterday, I get really excited because this obviously is one of my favorite scriptures and chapters because it gives you a peek into the spirit world. And whenever I get a chance to do that, I'm all eyes and ears.
It really does. And yesterday we were talking about Romans 8 and all through that chapter, and that was written by Paul. And then he says in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? And then we go to 1 Corinthians 2, and I love this title in the New American Standard. It says, Paul's reliance upon the Spirit.
That's right.
And he did rely on Holy Spirit so much, and we need to do more than he did.
You know, in these series that we've had about Holy Spirit, we better rely on him or we're in trouble.
That's right.
We could get into error, and we certainly don't want to do that, so I'd like to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Father God, we just thank you that you direct our thoughts and our actions, our meditations, our conversation, our confessions. And Lord, we know all of those things go into a successful lifestyle. So I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the written word of God. And I thank you that we have words written by the wonderful Apostle Paul. And we will take it to heart, Lord, as this being from you, which it really is. Thank you, thank you, thank you, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. And we welcome you today. We welcome you to turn to your Bible. If you're on the road, just listen with spiritual ears and spiritual heart today, because Holy Spirit was not only just for the apostles in the New Testament who were struggling. They're for those of us today who are in a wicked world. And in fact, it's getting worse and worse. You know, it used to be, Darren, as holidays came, we would enjoy the holidays with our families. There was not ever an alert of any kind. And now we've got these terrorist alerts, high alerts on holidays. And so we have got to rely so much more on the Lord than we've ever have in the history of our nation, really.
Well, I agree with that. But in some ways, I don't agree with it. We should have always been on high alert when it comes to the devil, because it's exactly what it says in John 10:10. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But certainly, as you say, things have changed in our world. But, you know, when you have Holy Spirit and he guides you and he takes you and he teaches you things. In fact, just last week, I heard Dr. Zodiatis right here on our station preaching on his morning broadcast. He was talking about the Apostle Paul being one of the wisest men that ever lived.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about this first grand. In fact, he was talking about the scientists today that go out of their way not to believe that there's a God. And they say, well, you know, someplace 13 jillion years ago, there was a calamity of sorts. And, you know, I mean, this is just nonsense. And he said, quoting one scientist that he knew about, he said, I don't have the faith to believe in evolution. And I think it would take more faith to believe that nonsense than it does just to believe there's a God and that he cares about us.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And here in 1 Corinthians 2, it says in verse 28, or I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 1, and the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen. Barbara just moved my microphone here and I lost my place on the page. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are. What he's saying in portions of this 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is that man in his foolishness doesn't understand how dumb he really is.
That's right.
You know, how out of it we really are without the Lord. We're just flat out of it.
We really are. And the boasting should always be in God.
That's
because
right.
He's the one that does it for us. And then one of your favorites before we get into 1 Corinthians 2 is 1 Corinthians 1:30. But by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ Jesus. I can't imagine a day, Darren, without knowing that Jesus is in me and Holy Spirit is living in me, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
That's the whole package right there.
It's the whole package.
You know, if we can just back up and say, in fact, I had a man working for me one time, and he was talking about some people that he thought were particularly stupid. And he said, Darren, they don't know that they don't know. In other words, and actually you could put that charge at all of humanity. We don't know what we don't know. I mean, we don't know how much we lack. And I think to have a sense of completion and a foundation, we really have to know God. And so that we can say, okay, there are a lot of things that I don't know. In fact, I heard you say that the other day. I'm just realizing there's a whole lot of things that I don't know. And maybe that comes on you as you begin to go through the process of growing up and maturing. You realize, man, there's just a whole lot of things that I don't know much about. Well, here God is saying, I'm going to give you the mind of Christ. At the end of 1 Corinthians 2, it says you have the mind of Christ. And I've encouraged people over the years that when they're up against something, they don't know what to do. I say, why don't you walk around your house, or as you're commuting to your job, why don't you start saying, I know exactly what to do because I have the mind of Christ. Now, to me, that puts this stuff that seems to be beyond our grasp, it puts it into the real world. And you know, when people have taken that counsel and they've done that, they come around saying, you know, something just happened and it all worked out. And all of a sudden I knew what to do. Well, when you run around confessing the wrong side of the coin, saying, you know, I have no idea what to do. I am so stupid. You know, I'm so far out of the loop. I'm blah, blah, blah. Guess what? You won't know what to do. But if you confess what's really truth out of Scripture, that you have the mind of Christ, I'll tell you, that kicks in for you. And you're on good, good ground when you do that.
That's right. Well, here at the beginning of chapter 2, Paul is saying that he didn't come with superiority of speech. And probably if anybody had gotten an education as far as being an orator of sorts and standing before synagogues, it was Paul. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was educated by the greatest teacher then known, Gamaliel. And he had an education that probably gave him an orator's dream. And yet he said, I didn't come with superiority of speech. And he said, or wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. He's saying right here, in me there is nothing. I have nothing. Now, just here in the 30th verse of chapter 1, he said that we have the wisdom. But then he goes back and he says, I don't have the wisdom. It's God who's put this wisdom in me.
It's Jesus
inside
of us.
And we need to be clear about that. That's right.
You know, Barbara, when I think about in the Gospels, particularly in the Gospel of John, when it says, whatever you ask in my name. Well, if we stop and think about it, what do we have in the name of Jesus? Well, the Father poured everything he had in the first chapter of Colossians. I think it's Colossians 1:19. The Father poured the fullness of deity into Jesus. And in Colossians 2:9 and 10, it says, we're complete in Jesus Christ, in whom the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Well, if we know that, how complete we really are, and then we say, I have some needs here, but then Jesus said, I have it all. I created it all, and I'm inside of you. So when we begin to realize the expansion of the name of Jesus, that it really is not only the name of a man, our Savior and the Son of God, but it's also a place, and everything we need is in that place. That place is called the name Jesus. That just changes a lot of things for me. Whatever you ask in my name, well, what's in your name, Jesus? Everything. All the power, authority, ability, all the resources are in his name. Well, then he says here in that scripture you just read, Paul is saying, I didn't come to you with fancy words of the highly educated. That's not what he's saying. But I came to you to proclaim the testimony of God. I was determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. What he's really saying, I'm there in humility.
That's right. And today, even in the Christian circles, Darren, we see people, if they're not mighty and if they don't come with a whole entourage and a spectacular program and everything's going for them and they're boisterous and they're loud and they're, you know, we don't think that it's much of a meeting at all. And here he says, that's not what's important.
Right.
I come to you with weakness. I come to you with inadequacies. And I'm going to tell you about the power of Holy Spirit that dwells in us. We have such a wrong view of what Christian leadership should be. We really do.
Well, one thing I've tried to pattern our ministry after is verse 4. And Paul says, "And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." Mm-hmm. Now, what he was saying is, I don't want your faith to rest on how well I preach. And I heard a minister of the gospel. Matter of fact, he's on the same station we're on in Denver. And I tell you, he was a wordsmith. The words just rolled off his tongue. But there was one thing missing. It's called the anointing of God, which we're talking about in this chapter. And that anointing of God, that power of God, is what makes it happen. And so when we pray for somebody, our faith rests on the power of God to heal that person. That's where our faith rests. It's not on, oh, my goodness, how many years of college do I have or don't have, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, if we introduced the Apostle Paul today, it would probably be the longest introduction in the history of the church. Because you'd say, well, he got this doctorate, and he got that degree, and he got another degree, he got a PhD, and an LLD, and he got all these things, and therefore we're supposed to fall down in awe. No, he said, that's not it. I'm here in weakness. What he's saying is, I recognize my role, and I also recognize God's role, and God's the one that's the doer with the power. That's what he's saying. And I think that is so profound, and it's such a humbling thing to read.
It really is. Well, our faith doesn't rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. And yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. He is saying, don't depend on the educational system of today to get you where you need to go, or the rulers of today, the leadership, or the philosophies of today. It's only through the Word of God that is going to bring you to where you are and what you were created for. And Darren, we look everywhere but the Word of God. Generally speaking, the Word of God is the last thing a person goes to, even Christians. And we should be ashamed that we call ourselves Christians.
I would rephrase that. I say, unfortunately, most of the time that's true. But not all the time. There are a few people that are catching on. And I'd like to say that I'm not in that category, because I want to go to God first, not last. And we see this in healing. People call us, oh, you know, so-and-so has this horrendous disease, and, you know, I guess we better pray. And what they're seeing is, we've exhausted all the resources at the hospital or whatever.
Yes.
And now, you know, as last resort, we've got to go to God, because this is beyond man.
You should have
known that day one.
That's right. And an old evangelist said, once the doctors have cut on you, the healing is so much harder for a believer than if nothing had happened. And so we get cut on, we get operations, we get chemo, we get radiated, we get everything done to our bodies until they're fried inside. And then we expect to have the faith to go to God and believe for healing.
And I would say this, you know, God does heal through surgeons, but you better make sure that that's the path God chooses for you. He may say, no, I don't want you to go to surgery. I want to heal you. I want to do it supernaturally. I just want to, you know, do a process here of divine healing. But then it goes on to say in verse 7 here in 1 Corinthians 2, we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. And when I see this, that we're to be glorified here in that verse. And then I go back to Romans 8, and God says, you're chosen, you're selected, you're forgiven, you're redeemed, and you're glorified. You're one of the glorified children of God. Right now, I've been struggling with the Holy Spirit saying, would you teach me what that means? Now, some people say, well, that's only going to be when you die and you get a glorified body and you go off to be with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I believe that means for now, that we are very special people in the body.
That's right. And it goes into, it's leading up to verse 9, which so many believers know by heart. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared to those who love him, for those who love him. And Darren, that's not in the future, in heaven. That's for right now. That's the peace and the joy and the righteousness we can have in this world.
Now, in the next few verses here, in addition to that one, this is guided what I believe about Holy Spirit's operation and presence in my life.
Yes. Well, can I just say at the end of verse 9, it's for those who love God.
Exactly.
That is a key. If you love God, this is what you can plan on. If you are just playing games, if you know, and some of you are, you're going to church on Sunday, you're never opening the Bible, you're barely praying, and you say you love God, you're playing a game, and God isn't going to receive you. You have got to love him, pay the price, get into the Word, get to know him, and hunger for him. Darren, this promise is for those who love God.
Well, now, if you love God, you spend time with his love letter.
Yes. You know something? I love you, so I spend time with you. Maybe you think too much time. It's 24/7 most of the time.
I need a break. But you know, Barb, when it says that God has prepared for those that love him. If our listeners could stand in our shoes sometimes at a meeting and listen to the phone calls, read the mail, you know, talk to people as we do, you would see what we see. And here's what it is. And this is just a paradox to me. It's just something sometimes just kind of blows me away. The people with the greatest need for healing or for finances or for some breakthrough in their lives have the least amount of God's word in their heart. Guess what? There's a direct correlation there between the, well, I've got to come and get a freebie here. I mean, I'm sure God loves me, right, Darren? Yes, he does love you. Well, I need to be healed. I need an extraordinary miracle in my life, or I'm about to go down the tube with my business. Well, how much scripture do you know? Now, almost 99% of the people are not spiritually prepared to receive from God. They don't even know what God can do for them. And yet they're saying, man, I'm out of options here. I'm about to go down the tube financially, or I'm about to die physically. And so then Brother Darren up there is supposed to do the dance and get him healed. Well, healing works by spiritual laws. You've got to have substance of faith if you want to get healed. And secondarily, you've got to have a substance of faith if you're going to keep your healing mm-hmm. or keep your financial miracle. Mm-hmm. You see, I know some people that would say, you know, if I gave that guy who's in great need financially, if I gave him some money and I could do that, it would be like pouring money down a black hole because he has not learned his lesson. So I am not going to give out of my resources to help that person. So what are we saying here? You have to have a background in the Word. And here in verse 10, and if you will take this and meditate on it, it says, for to us, and that's you and me, all of us here, mm-hmm. God revealed them through the Spirit. Now it's talking about the mysteries here.
That's
We're talking
right.
about mysteries. Uh-huh. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Uh-huh. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. You're going to find out that the deepest part of God is not the Spirit. It's the mind of God. See, the Spirit searches the mind of God. Now, there have been times when I needed a question answered, and I asked Holy Spirit, would you go into the mind of God and bring me the answer? And you know he's done that, because in verse 12, it says, we've not received the spirit of the world. Now, that's the devil. That's small s.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
But the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Well, what in the world has been given to us freely by God? Well, salvation is a starter. But he's given us a lot more than that. He's given us wisdom, counsel, understanding, all the things we need to function.
Well, and what are these verses for? For to us. He's talking about us. Paul is saying, you need to know how Holy Spirit works here. He loves you so much. And when you have a need, he's going to go into the very mind of God. Darren, that is so phenomenal and amazing to me, that Holy Spirit will go into the very mind of God to find out what I need. What every person who loves him needs.
Okay, now let me break out the process here. In the 12th verse, I just read that, but I'll read it again. And we're going to put it with the 13th verse and the 14th verse. Now we received not the spirit of the world, meaning the devil, but we received the Spirit, which is Holy Spirit, who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, I spent several years in radio and television. We're talking here about audio, in other words, what you hear, and a visual, what you see. And here's what he's saying. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually understood.
Now, these degrees that you've received in worldly institutions,
right.
Well, you went to church schools, but take, for instance, philosophy. They actually taught philosophy on the basis of worldly philosophers.
Well, also, they taught psychology.
Okay.
They said, well, he's a Christian psychologist, but what is he teaching? He's teaching secular psychology.
All right. So, basically, we got a worldly education, even
right.
though we went to Christian, so-called Christian schools, and we went to chapel every day, but... No. And so what do you use from your degrees, your bachelor's and your master's, that you are using today, that you can say that you really have gained insight from that education rather than the Word of God that you've been reading all these years?
Well, I think what you learn going through college is you got to figure out what the professor wants and give it to him, because you want the grade. Now you say, why do you need the grade? Well, more and more people are realizing those grades and that grade point isn't all that important in terms of how you're going to make it in the real world. What I learned in college was how to ask good questions. I could always ask the professor the right question.
How to ask good questions.
Right.
That's what you learned.
Well, that's one thing I learned. That's one way, reason I got through there and got my degree and had a good grade point. But what did I really learn? Probably was tenacity and persistence. But in terms of content, I don't think I learned that much.
No.
And you think, well, I spent 6 years in college for what? To come out with a piece of paper that I don't even know where it is right now. It's hidden away somewhere. You know, so those two or three degrees that I got, you know, both in Christian universities and in secular universities, you say, well, what does that mean? Well, some people think that's really something. And I have been at parties and so on and gatherings where people were there with all kinds of degrees, and they stood around saying, well, where did you get your PhD? And then the bottom line, you know, they get off in the corner and they say, you know, his PhD isn't worth what mine is. I went to a more prestigious university.
Degrees then.
Well, here Paul went to the most prestigious universities of that day.
Yes.
And yet he's saying, that's not where it is, guys. Mm-hmm. And see, maybe if I really prayed for you, the thing would happen to you that happened to Paul. You get knocked off of your donkey on your fanny and you go blind for 3 days. And imagine I'd get your attention and say, well, you know, and on that road to Damascus, what did all that education by Gamaliel and the Pharisees do for Paul? At that time, he was Saul. But what good did it do him? He's coming around here and saying, listen, here's where it is. And what he's really saying here in verse 13, we also speak not in words taught by human wisdom. He's talking there about tongues.
Yes, he is.
But in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words.
Oh, praise God.
But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually understood. My prayer for you right now and listening to us here in this broadcast is that God will give you the spiritual discernment and understanding that you need right now to understand 1 Corinthians 2. This is one of the most marvelous chapters in all of the Bible because it gives you a peek into the spirit world and how it operates. And what Paul is saying here is you're going to be taught by this prayer language of the Spirit. Holy Spirit wants to pray the wisdom right into your heart. And by the way, then you keep praying in the Spirit, He'll release the understanding to your intellect. To your mind, your conscious mind.
That's right.
That is super. That's called being led by the Spirit of God.
Well, here in verse 14, it says a natural man. And Dr. Zodiati's footnote says that it refers to a man who is governed only by his environment, by his natural or animal instincts, by his fallen Adamic nature. It is the man who is in Adam and estranged from God because of Adam's sin. So here the natural man is an unspiritual man. He cannot hear in the spirit. He cannot hear God or any of the spiritual things. He is motivated and influenced only by the environment he's around. And Darren, we see so many, you know, I call them carnal Christians. They call themselves Christians. I don't know why. There's no fruit. They only live by and are influenced by their environment. Oh, I feel. Oh, I feel. Oh, I feel. And you know, we know that feelings and symptoms are liars. God's word is truth.
Right, we know that.
And so, anybody who lives by those standards is a natural man who cannot hear the Spirit of God. But the spiritual man, verse 15, I love this one. And in the Amplified, if you have an Amplified today, go to your Amplified Bible and look up 1 Corinthians 2:15. The spiritual man. He appraises, and this word appraises, Mrs. Seitz took this. Now, this was one dear lady who wrote the Amplified. She's precious, and she's home with Jesus today, but I'm sure she's teaching a class somewhere up there. And she tore this word appraises apart. The spiritual man appraises all things. That means he examines, he investigates, he inquires into, and he questions everything. Darren, he discerns the spirits. He sees whether they are of God or of man. And that's important to go to God and say, Lord, am I being led by the Spirit here or am I being led by the flesh? And as we discern and cut off that fleshly control in our lives, then the spirit man's going to have more control.
Well, to give you an example of why you need to be spirit-led and spirit-directed, we have a dear friend who was in a lawsuit with an insurance company, and they were trying to cheat her and chisel her out of a fair settlement. Because she went to people for counsel, and she also was spirit-filled herself, she could pray, and God had held her steady until she got the fair settlement, and it was several thousand dollars more. Now, her flesh was screaming, oh, I want this over with. They're being so mean to me. You know, I told her, listen, they're not there to make friends with you. They're there to save the company money, and that's profit to them. So don't take it personally. But yet it's hard not to take it personally when you're in a dogfight like that.
Well, and especially when they tell her lies, they try to influence by saying to her, you're not seeing the situation right. And they're telling her lies and feeding falsifying right. information into her. And she's almost believing it.
Well,
and
they tried to mislabel her.
That's right. And without friends coming alongside and saying, hey, hold on, hang steady, she might have given in.
Ultimately, though, we have to hear the voice of God. Now, the voice of God can hold you steady until you get the settlement in this lawsuit that God wanted her to have. He wanted her to have a fair, generous settlement.
Yes.
Now, all of us have been at the point where the flesh is screaming bloody murder, as we would say. I'm so tired of this, I'm going to throw in the towel. Now, maybe it's in a job situation where you're just sick of the boss, you're sick of the people you're working with, you just had the course, but you know, it may not be God's time frame for you to quit. But you need to know that, and what we're telling you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you can know. You can know, because he's saying here in verse 12, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. What I'm talking about on that day, you can get spiritual direction is what you're to do.
Oh, praise God.
Or, excuse me, are you supposed to go to the boss or the owner of the company and say, I'm out of here? Or are you supposed to keep your mouth shut, be a good worker, and stay there? You see, God has timing in all these things.
He does.
Now, if we know the character of God, that his choice is to bless us beyond everything that we could reason out, then we need to hear his voice. And we need to be led by his spirit for timing and everything else, because God has only good things planned for us.
Yes.
That's what it says in Jeremiah 29:11. Can you quote that for us?
Oh, I know the thoughts and plans for you, and they are not for evil or calamity, but they are for peace and your welfare, that you might have a future and a hope. And that's paraphrased, but...
Well, I caught you off bound. You did really good there. But here's what that scripture is saying, folks, is God has the best deal for you.
Oh, he does.
And if you hang in there and listen for his voice and his instruction and his guidance and his timing, and see, I'm an impatient guy. I want my timing. I'm in the now generation. Lord, I want to pray today and get it right now. But you know, sometimes he has a lesson in patience for us. And he said in the scriptures, let patience have its perfect work. Mm. So while you're waiting for that breakthrough, God is adding riches to your insights. He's making you a greater, stronger person and more able, by the way, to hear the voice of God. And I want to tell you what the devil's going to say to you. You're flying into a box canyon, dummy. You don't have enough power to get over that mountain. You're going to crash. Don't believe the lie from the devil. He is a liar from the beginning. Listen, folks, we love you, and we really, really want you to win, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-866-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at BarbaraCarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.